Good morning. Good afternoon. This is going to take me a while. I got to get used to this. Good afternoon, Fairfield County Chinese Christian Church. Did I get it? And good afternoon to Jew, who I can't see. I planned to preach on 2 Corinthians 5:17 when I was asked to back in May.
你们五月份邀请我的时候，我就打定了主意要来讲《哥林多后书》5:17。
And I've been watching the website and noticed someone else preached on it on July 2nd.
我一直在看你们的网站，发现7月2号有一位讲员已经讲了这一节。
If there's any passage worth hearing twice, it's this one.
但是这一节确实是需要我们反复讲的。
So I hope I can bring you a fresh perspective of this very meaningful passage in my own life story, as you will hear.
所以希望我今天能给大家带来一个新的视角，因为这段经文对我自己的人生也具有重大的意义。
My name is David Ruqua.
我的名字叫大卫·鲁夸。I'm
married to Josephine Velasquez for 32 plus years.
我和约瑟芬结婚，我们已经结婚了32年。I
have three adult children.
我有3个孩子都长大了。I
picked up a fourth last year.
我们去年又有第四个。I
attended here at Hope Church for almost 25 years.
我在Hope Church聚会了差不多27年。
Then I took a pastoral internship at the Wethersfield Evangelical Free Church.
然后我就去在另外一个教会，也是波道会的一个教会做实习牧师。
And I'm now serving as an elder at Grace Evangelical Free Church in Stanford.
我现在是在斯坦福的Grace教会服侍。
What's most important is that the Lord's been shaping my life, as I'm sure He's been shaping yours.
非常重要的是，主一直在塑造我的生活，就像他塑造你们的生活一样。And
for the next few moments, he's given me the opportunity for us actually all to share together in our journey and in his word.
在接下来这段时间里，感谢主给我们一个机会来一起分享我们的人生旅程和分享神的话。Would
you join me in prayer?
我们一起祷告。Lord,
thank you that we can be together.
主啊，感谢你让我们能够在一起敬拜你。
I pray that the words of my mouth,
我向你祷告，求你使用我嘴里的话,
and the meditation of our hearts,
还有我心里的所思所想,
would be acceptable and pleasing in your sight,
能在你面前蒙恩,
for you are our Lord and Redeemer,
因为你是我们的主, 你是我们的救赎者。
Amen.
Amen.
As we look to 2 Corinthians 5:17, there are some questions we need to ask to establish the context.
我们学习哥林多后书5:17节的时候，我们要学习一下这个经文的上下文。
What's the significance of Corinth?
我们要知道哥林多的意义是什么。
What's the significance of his letter?
哥林多后书这本书信的意义是什么。
What's the significance of this chapter?
这一章的意义是什么。
And finally, what's the significance of this verse?
然后就是这一节经文的意义是什么?
Corinth in Paul's day was a large maritime city in the southern area of Greece with mixed languages, mixed races, mixed customs, and a variety of religions.
在保罗的时代，哥林多是希腊南部一座海上的大城市，融汇了多种语言、种族、文化习俗和宗教。
The city offered two ports, an eastern port and a western port.
这个城市有两个港口，一个在东部，一个在西部。
So sailors could avoid sailing around the isthmus and be safe, and there was a network of roads leading to all the major cities.
所以水手们就可以避免绕过地峡航行到另外一边，并且哥林多有通往内陆主要城市的道路网络。
There was a huge historic temple to Aphrodite, the Greek goddess of love.
这个城市还有一座历史悠久的神庙，是供奉希腊的爱神阿佛罗狄特的。
where prostitution was also promoted.
这个神庙也是提倡卖淫。
So the city was a strong economic and political center with such a reputation for immorality that to call something Corinthian was a reference to both luxury and corruption.
这座城市是一个强大的经济和政治中心，但是它是以不道德而闻名的，所以那个时候的人把称作某种东西称为哥林多市的，就意味着是奢侈和腐败的。
Corinth was the largest city in Greece, the ninth largest city in the Roman Empire, and nearly two times the population of neighboring Athens.
哥林多是希腊最大的城市，是罗马帝国第九大城市。 人口几乎是临近雅典的两倍，是耶路撒冷人口的五倍。
It was about five times the size of Jerusalem and had about 50,000 people.
大约有5万人。
Though people from all over the world lived there, the dominant ethnicity was Southern European.
尽管那里居住着来自世界各地的人，但是主要的种族是南欧人。
Heavily influenced by the earlier Greeks and their carefully defined standard of both divinity and humanity.
深受早期希腊和它的希腊文化的神性和人性标准的影响。
The statues in these pictures are from Corinth and very likely were looked upon by Paul as he walked the streets.
我们图片里的这些雕塑就是哥林多的地方的雕塑。 也很有可能是保罗当时去到那个地方所看到的景象。
In Paul's first missionary journey, Acts 13 and 14, Paul and Barnabas went throughout Pamphylia, Galatia, and Cilicia.
保罗的第一次宣教旅程就是在《使徒行传》13到14节中记载， 保罗和巴拿巴走遍了庞菲利亚、加拉太。
Paul was left for dead in Lystra, and they retraced their steps as they came back. They confirmed all the churches, returning to Antioch of Syria to report.
保罗在路斯德几乎被石头打死，而且被那当地的人扔在城外，就是以为他死了，就把他扔在城外。但是保罗后来折返，兼顾当地的各个教会，后来返回叙利亚的安提阿报告。
In Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas separated as Paul began his second missionary journey.
在《使徒行传》第15章，保罗和巴拿巴分开了，保罗开始了他的第二次宣教旅程。
Starting by land, he went to Derbe, where he met a young Timothy in Acts 16.
他从陆地出发，在德比遇见了年轻的提摩太。
He intended to go south, but the Spirit would not allow him.
他本来打算南下穿越亚洲，但是遭到圣灵的阻止。
Then they tried to go north, and we don't know how, but the Spirit would not allow him.
他又试图向北前进，但是我们不清楚为什么，圣灵就是不允许他们去。
Traveling west, Paul had a vision, calling him to Macedonia in Greece.
他们向西旅行的时候，保罗看到一个异象，呼召他前往希腊的马其顿。
There he was beaten and imprisoned in Philippi.
他在腓立比遭到殴打，并且被监禁。
In Acts 16, Dr. Luke joined Paul.
在《使徒行传》第16章中，路加医生来到保罗身边。
Possibly as a divine provision to care for Paul's injuries and sickness.
可能是神把路加送到保罗身边来照顾他的伤病。
Paul founded the church in Thessalonica, then preached in Athens in Acts 17.
保罗在帖撒罗尼迦建立了教会，然后在雅典传道，这些都记载在《使徒行传》17章里面。
Before being led by the Spirit to Corinth in Acts 18.
然后在《使徒行传》18章，他来到了哥林多。
This was all his second missionary journey around AD 50.
这些都是发生在公元50到51年左右，在保罗的第二次传教之旅当中。
Constantly traveling, Paul burned a lot of calories.
因为不断的旅行，保罗他消耗了大量的卡路里。
Yet with his conservative budget, he likely had a low-calorie diet.
他钱也不多，所以可能吃的也不好。
Through his travels and his work, Paul was exposed to the sun thin, naturally shorter and darker than the local norm, and he showed evidence of repeated injuries.
这个常年的风吹日晒使保罗看起来就像一个在工地上干活的民工，又黑又瘦，比当地人矮，还有严重的受伤的痕迹。
This led Paul to say, we always are carrying around in our body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body.
所以保罗在他的书信中说，我们身上常带着耶稣的死，使耶稣的生也显明在我们身上。
That was in chapter 4, right before the chapter we are looking at.
这就是在哥林多后书四章里面保罗写到的，就是在我们今天要学的经文前面一点点。
And toward the end of Paul's letter, God told him, My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness.
在哥林多后书的结尾，保罗总结道，神告诉他说，我的恩典够你用的，因为我的能力是在人的软弱上显得完全。
She's good. Finally, throughout the Roman Empire, were traveling orders modeled after the Greek sophists.
那个时候，整个罗马帝国都有很多的旅行演说家。
They were a combination of today's Hollywood actors, CNN broadcasters, Ivy League professors, and TV evangelists.
就像当今的好莱坞演员、CNN 的播音员、藤校教授和那些电视上布道的人的合体。
Traveling from town to town, they expounded on subjects as requested.
他们从一个城镇到另一个城镇，收取高昂的费用，去讲述那些人要求阐述的主题。
They charged exorbitant rates to be heard.
他们每到一个地方都收很多的钱。
And for the exclusive privilege for people to study under them as their disciples.
还有很多的人交钱来做他们的门徒。
Which is why some people believe Paul never used the word disciple in any of his letters.
所以很多人猜测，这就是为什么保罗在他的书信中从来没有使用过门徒这个词。
Their exclusive students would boast about who had the best teacher.
这些交了钱的学生特别喜欢到处炫耀他们的老师。
Their population gave them wealth, which they in turn invested back into the clothes they wore and the activities, the public activities they were involved in.
这些人非常有名，所以呢，他们就用这些名气，得到很多财富，又把财富投资于他们的时尚和公关，所以最大限度地提高自己的吸引力。
This was all part of their marketing appeal.
这都是他们做市场得来的。
They're known for their ability to debate, and they were sought out by political elite, giving them social status and influence.
这些演说家以辩论能力而闻名，受到当地政治精英的追捧，而且给了他们很高的社会地位和影响力。
They could sway public opinion.
他们可以影响公众舆论。
They likely had servants so that they stayed out of the sun.
他们很有可能有仆人，所以不用晒太阳。
And their rich diet undoubtedly influenced their body style.
而且他们吃的也特别好，使他们的身材也很好。
They looked very different than Paul.
他们和保罗看起来有天壤之别。
While the nearby sophisticated city of Athens was their home,
他们住在附近更加精致的城市雅典。
The larger,Wealthy, corrupt city of Corinth competed for their presence.
但是他们也喜欢到这种更大、更富裕、更腐化的哥林多来。
And they competed for audience in Corinth, as they were paid handsomely for it.
因为在哥林多，他们能够收取丰厚的这个报酬。
To understand these orators is to understand 2 Corinthians.
知道了这些演说家的存在。就可以带领我们更好地理解哥林多后书。
So what is the significance of this letter?
所以哥林多后书的意义是什么呢?
Paul wrote 1 Corinthians in response to the leader's request for him to give them advice on issues mostly around conduct.
保罗在写哥林多前书的时候，主要是为了回应哥林多教会领袖向他提出的一个请求，就是咨询了他很多关于 怎么样做这些行为方面的问题。
Paul wrote 2 Corinthians to confront the false teachers who were challenging his authority and most of all, the gospel, his message.
保罗写哥林多后书的时候，主要是驳斥那些挑战他的权威和他传播福音的那些假教师和那些演说家。
So in 2 Corinthians, Paul exposes these orators as superficial and of the flesh.
所以保罗在揭露这些人的时候，说他们是肤浅的，是属肉体的。
While he focused on things that were internal and of the spirit.
但是保罗他专注的是内在的，属灵的事。
Stating toward the end of his letter in 2 Corinthians 10, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not battle according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying arguments and all arrogance raised against the knowledge of God.
在哥林多后书快结尾的时候，第十章保罗说，因为我们虽然在血气中行事，却不凭着血气征战。我们征战的兵器本不是属血气的，乃是在神面前有能力，可以攻破坚固的营垒，将各样的计谋、各样拦阻人认识神的那些自高之事一概攻破了。
First and Second Corinthians indicate that there were other letters between Paul and the church in Corinth.
哥林多前书和后书也透露出保罗在哥林多给他们写了别的一些书信。
Even though our Bible just contains these two letters.
但是我们的圣经只收录了这两封书信。
Second Corinthians was written only about a year after First Corinthians.
哥林多后书写于哥林多前书之后一年。
And there Paul demonstrates a heavy heart, for after lengthy sacrificial serving among these friends, his character is being questioned.
在这封书信里，保罗表现出他的心情很沉重，因为他长期尽心竭力地服侍哥林多人，掏心掏肺，肝胆相照，换来的却是对他人品的质疑。
Second Corinthians contain three clusters of words that express emotion, and these three clusters really capture the essence of the whole book.
哥林多后书包含了三组不寻常的词语来表达他的情感，一组就是表明他传道的艰难，一组是表明安慰，另外一组是表明喜乐。
These three categories of feeling are words of hardship, words of comfort,and words of joy, as Paul intimately defends his authority and mostly the gospel.
因为保罗他在奋力的捍卫他在传福音上的权威。
The dichotomy of hardship and God's provision are all through the book.
在这封书信里面贯穿着是保罗遭遇的困难和上帝供应之间的对比。
So what is the significance of this chapter?
那么这一章有什么意义呢？
In chapter 4, the chapter right before ours, Paul makes the argument that as Christians we've died to ourselves and carry a sense of death in our flesh.
在第四章中，保罗提出了一个论点，就是作为基督徒，我们已经向自己死了，我们的肉体应该是带着死亡的感觉。
Thus, our lives should reflect the power of the risen Christ.
因此，我们的生活应该反映出复活基督的大能。
Paul begins chapter 5 mixing metaphors, referring to our being clothed in the temporal home of our earthly bodies.
保罗在哥林多后书第五章开始的时候使用了一些比喻，指的就是我们穿着属世的身体，同时又渴望穿上属天的灵体。
While longing to be clothed in the celestial home of our heavenly body.
保罗就说，对于那些信靠基督人来说，离开这个属世的身体就是与主同在。
And so he says, for those who trust Christ, to be absent from this earthly body is to be present with the Lord.
所以我们基督徒是渴望离开属世的肉体而与神同在。
Yet Paul points out, whether we are absent from this body and present with the Lord, or present with the Lord and absent from this body.
保罗指出，无论我们离开身体与主同在，还是离开主还暂时在我们的身体里面。
Our goal is to please God.
我们的目标都是要讨神的喜悦。
And so he ties this argument to the accusations against him.
所以保罗将这个论点与那些对他的指控联系起来。
Those opposing Paul are not interested in pleasing God.
那些反对保罗的人对取悦神不感兴趣。
Now, one of their primary arguments against Paul,
反对保罗的人，他们有一个主要的论点就是
and his credibility is that somebody of such unimpressive appearance couldn't possibly represent deity.
就是像保罗这样不起眼的人，他怎么能够代表神呢？
And Paul points out that they are concerned with the superficial and not the heart.
保罗指出，这些人关心的只是表面的东西，而不是内心的。
He says, if Christ has died for all, then all have died.
保罗说，如果基督为所有的人死，那么所有的人都死了。
And if all have died, the only way they can live is if the one who died for them, Jesus, arose from the dead.
如果所有的人都死了，他们能活下去的唯一途径，就是通过为他们死。然后从死里复活的那一位耶稣基督。
Paul turns their argument against his credibility into an argument for Jesus' credibility.
保罗把那些人反对他的可信度的论据变成了证明耶稣的可信度的论据。
It's as if he says, "You're right. I'm not much to look at."
好像就是说，你们说的对，我没什么可看的。
I'm like a jar of clay, a dead man.
我就是一个陶罐，一个死人。
And so are you.
你也是。
And the only thing that gives life and meaning to the mortal vessel of anyone's appearance is the inward life offered by the resurrected Christ.
唯一能给我们任何人的外表赋予生命和意义的，就是复活的基督他所提供的内在的生命。
This contention between Paul and the professional orators is later highlighted in chapter 11.
保罗和那些职业演说家之间的争论后来在第十一章中得到强调。
When Paul states, I do not think I'm the least inferior to those super apostles.
保罗说，但我想我一点不在那些最大的使徒以下。
I may indeed be an untrained speaker, but I do have knowledge.
我的言语虽然粗俗，我的知识却不粗俗。
And then he reminds them how he demonstrated not only knowledge, but also love.
然后他提醒他们，保罗他自己所表现出来的不仅仅是知识，还有爱。
These arguments point to our theme verse, where Paul emphasizes inward transformation.
这些论点引出了我们的主题经文，因为在其中保罗强调的是内在的转变。
Yes, our bodies get old and are falling apart.
是我们外在的身体都会老化，并且会腐化。
We all carry evidence of that.
我们都是行走的证据。
But that doesn't matter.
但是这些并不重要。
Your inward body can be completely renewed.
你内在的这个身体是可以完全恢复更新的。
No matter what the outside looks like, the
power 无论你外表如何
the inside can be powerfully regenerated.
你的内在都可以得到强大的再生。
Understand, Paul uses their argument about appearance as a reference to all things that are superficial.
我们要知道，保罗谈到外表的时候，他是指代所有表面的事物。
He goes on to describe this inward transformation as being reconciled to God.
然后他接下来向我们解释说，这种内在的转变就是与神和好。
And that he and all those who have been transformed are now ambassadors of such reconciliation.
并且保罗自己 还有那些已经经过这个转变的人，都是与神和解的使者。
As ambassadors, they're not being superficial representing themselves.
身为这种大使，他们并不是肤浅的，那些只代表自己的人。
Rather, by helping others experience transformation, they are engaged in eternal affairs representing God.
相反，通过帮助他人进行这种内在的转变，这些大使所从事的是永恒的事业，而且是代表神的。
And so that brings us to ask, what is then the significance of this verse?
所以下面我们就要来探讨这一节经文有什么意义呢？
While Paul addresses specific accusations against him at a specific time in history, he acknowledges two struggles that are really familiar to us today.
虽然保罗在他书信中，是在一个特定的历史时期写的，而且好像是针对那些特定他的指控。
The external versus the internal.
但是这些对我们今天也有意义，就是我们也面临了一个斗争，就是内在和外在的斗争。
And the old versus the new.
并且也面对了一个旧的和新的斗争。
Saying,
therefore, 所以,
if anyone is in Christ,
若有人在基督里,
this person is a new creation.
他就是新造的人。
Old things are passed away.
旧事已过。
Behold, new things have come.
都变成新的了。
To understand what Paul is saying, there are three elements in this verse that we should clarify.
那为了充分理解保罗的意思，我们需要澄清这些经文的三个要素。
What does it mean to be in Christ?
在基督里是什么意思？
What does it mean to be a new creation?
新造的人是什么意思？
And what is implied in that little word, if?
若这个小词是什么意思？
The Greek of Paul's time had many words that could be translated in for in Christ.
在保罗时代的希腊语有很多的词都是和今天的在什么什么里是一个意思。
Each one implies a different meaning, and one way to understand what Paul is trying to convey is to look at the words he chose not to use.
我们想要知道保罗他说的在基督里是什么意思，我们就要看看其他那些就是保罗他选了哪个词放在这儿表明在什么什么里。
One word for in Paul could have used is the Greek word ek.
有一个希腊词叫做 ek。这个词就是这个意思。
It means out of or from.
这个意思就是说从哪儿来，从哪儿出来，这个意思。
John uses this word in Revelation to record the Lord saying.
这个词被用在那个最后的这个启示录里面，约翰他用了这个词。
I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire.
他说，我劝你向我买火炼的金子，就是在火里被试炼的金子。
The gold had been in the fire, and now it came out.
这个金子是在火里，但是后来它又被拿出来了。
But that's not the word being used.
就这个词不是保罗在基督里用的。
Another word Paul could have used is the Greek word eis.
另外还有一个希腊词叫 eis.
It implies a motion into.
它的意思就是说进入的这个动作。
Matthew used this word to record Jesus saying, "Do not get gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belt."
在马太福音里面。就是说耶稣说腰带里不要带金银铜钱，就是在放在腰带里，这个在什么什么里。
In Mark 1:9, Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan.
在马可福音1:9说到在约旦河里受了约翰的洗。
But this is a temporal state.
但是这两个地方，它描述的都是一个暂时的状态。
Jesus went in the water, and then he came out.
耶稣进了约旦河，又走出来了。
Just like money can go into your pocket, and we all know it comes out.
就像你可以把钱放在口袋里，但是我们都知道，它总是要被掏出来的。
But Mark 1:9 begins with another word for in, translated in the English New American Standard as in those days.
在马可福音一章九节同一句话里面，他又在用了一个表示在什么什么里的词，就是那时，就是在那个时间里。
This is our word used in 2 Corinthians 5:17.
这个在什么什么里，就跟我们刚才读的哥林多后书五章十七节那个在基督里是同一个词。
In those days is a permanent identity.
在那时是一个持久的状态。
There's no movement into or out of. Rather, it's a place belonging in between the two.
它强调的不是进去，也不是出来，而是就在那里面一个非常长久的状态。
There are similar words that could have been used in the Greek that could be translated in with a sense of being on or with or against.
在希腊语里面，比如说在什么上面，跟什么在一起，在什么什么对面，都有这种类似的表达的方法。
But the word used in 2 Corinthians 5:17 is the Greek word en.
在哥林多后书五章十七节在基督里用的就是这个词叫 en。
It represents what Greek scholar Spyros Zodiades describes as being in a near connection, an intimate union, oneness of heart, mind, and purpose.
这个词就是希腊的学者佐迪西亚提斯他所描述的，就是说代表一种密切的联系、亲密的结合、心灵、思想、目的的统一。
Although 2 Corinthians 5:17 describes transformation from the old to the new, it is not temporary.
虽然哥林多后书五章十七节描述了一个从旧到新的转变，但是这里面意味着它不是暂时的，而是一个固定的。
It is a new fixed state of normal.
是一种新常态。
The Apostle John uses this word in John 15 for Jesus' teaching.
约翰福音十五章，约翰也用了这个词来传达耶稣的教导。
Remain in me as I also remain in you.
耶稣说，你们要常在我里面，我也常在你们里面。
No branch can bear fruit by itself, it must remain in the vine.
枝子若不常在葡萄树上，自己就不能结果子。
Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me.
你们若不常在我里面，也是这样。
To be in Christ is a permanent identity, a source of which is an intimate connection with Jesus.
在基督里是一种永久的身份，其根源是与耶稣的亲密联系。
So what does it mean to be a new creation?
那么下面成为新造的人又是什么意思呢？
The word here used for creation is the same word used throughout the New Testament for what God did in the beginning of time.
这个新造的人，新造的东西，创造这个词在整个新约中都是来代表上帝在创世之初所做的事情。
Evangelist Dwight Moody explains that it's more difficult to create a Christian than it was to create the world.
布道家穆迪曾经说过，创造一个基督徒比创造世界更困难。
In what he calls the first creation, God had to begin by creating matter itself from nothing.
穆迪在他所谓的第一次创造中解释说，上帝必须从无到有创造物质本身。
And there was nothing to stand in the way of the Creator.
那个时候，没有什么可以阻挡造物主的这个造物。
Now, to create a Christian, God has to work against forces of resistance.
但是现在，为了创造基督徒， 上帝必须对抗那些抵抗的力量。
In the first creation, there was nothing to help God.
在第一个创造里面，神也没有什么东西可以来帮助神。
But in the second creation, there was much to oppose him.
但是在第二个创造里，却有很多的力量来抵挡神。
In the beginning, God only had to speak, and light came forth.
在起初的创造里，神只要说话，光就出来了。
But now the forces of our own passions are drawn to darkness more to light.
但是现在我们自己里面有很大的力量，很多的激情是被黑暗吸引，而不是被光明所吸引。
This phrase "new creation" employs an interesting combination of words.
新造的人这个短语有一个非常有趣的单词的组合。
One word that could be used to translate new, the Greek word neos, refers to newness in respect to time.
那么新这个词也有很多的选择，在希腊语里面有一个叫 neos， 指的是时间上的新，就是最近这个意思。
That would be a logical word for Paul to use in relation to creation.
那么在描述创世的时候，这个应该是个合乎逻辑的选词。
Yet to use that word, new creation, would be redundant.
但是又说到新的创造，又是一个重复。
Paul uses a different word, kainos.
保罗选择的这个词 kainos 是一个不一样的词。
Instead of representing time, it represents a different quality.
它不是代表时间的新旧。而是代表一种不同的质量。
It is a nature that contrasts what existed before.
是一个与以前的那种性质截然不同的另外一种性质。
It is the word used to describe a new covenant.
在新约里面，这个词就是新约的新。
And a new commandment.
是新诫命的新。
To the Ephesian church, Paul wrote that we must put on a new self created in the image of God.
在以弗所书里面，保罗说我们要穿上新人。
And in the book of Revelation, John uses this word to describe having a new name.
在启示录里面，约翰用这个同样的这个词来描述新名字。
A new Jerusalem.
新耶路撒冷。
A new song.
新歌。
A new heaven and earth.
新天新地。
And he climaxes the book of Revelation saying, And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new.
那么他在启示录的高潮里面说，坐宝座的说，看哪，我将一切都更新了。
What we think we are, what we have done,What other people think we are, and what has been done to us, no longer apply.
我们认为自己是谁，我们做过什么，以及别人对我们做了什么，都不再适用了。
The creator of all that exists, who forms everything from nothing, looks at you and me and wants to transform us from what we have been to what he first intended us to be.
天地万有的创造者。从无到有的创造了一切，他看着你和我，想要将我们从我们现在的样子转变为他最初想要我们成为的样子。
A new identity created in His likeness, with a new song in our heart.
以他的形象创造的新身份，我们心中要唱新歌。
A new quality.
我们拥有新的品质。
A new character.
新的性格。
A new future.
新的未来。
A new hope.
新的希望。
Here's a side note, and I apologize for our translator. It's not in the transcript. The challenge today is for this modern English speaker to relay the intent of an ancient Greek document to a modern Chinese congregation.
今天我们所面临的挑战就是，我们怎么样把这些用希腊语写出来的东西应用在自己的生活当中
？In minutes，
我们怎么样来理解
Paul uses Greek grammatical tools to convey that for those in Christ, what is old is past, done, complete. Very similar to Jesus' words, it is finished.
保罗这里面说的新，就是说以前的东西全都过去了，都不算数了。非常就像耶稣在十字架上所说的，成了。
But for this new, Paul switches grammatical tools, now presenting a process that took place in the past when the old ended, with results continuing right now to the present.
保罗在描述这个新的时候，告诉我们以前的一切都已经结束了，而且它所导致的就是现在持续的，在将来都是新的。
This transformation is progressive.
这种转变也是渐进的。
Paul presents this in other writings as a constant process of maturing.
保罗他在别处也描述了这种逐渐来更新的过程。
For those in Christ, the old has ended.
对于那些在基督里的人，旧事已过。
The new began when the old died.
当旧东西死了以后，新的就开始了。
With progressive transformation right up until this point in time.
就是一步一步的一直在更新，直到今天。
Which brings us to our last question.
那么就是引出了我们最后的问题。
What does Paul mean by the simple word if?
那保罗这里面用这个简单的词若又是什么意思呢？
2 Corinthians 5:17 begins therefore if, referring to everything that Paul has said so far.
这个17节讲的这个东西就是说
Writing to this young church in a prestigious and wealthy city where some of his most intimate friendshave begun to look down on him with disrespect.
这是保罗写信给一座这个非常富裕、这个有声望的大城市的年轻教会，在那里面，他的一些最亲密的朋友开始表现出不尊重他、瞧不起他。
Paul knows that from their perspective, he does not present well.
保罗其实也明白，从这些人的角度来看，保罗他呈现出的这个形象并不好。
And Paul knows the things he's done in the past, some things he could regret, and this could lead Paul to deep shame.
保罗也知道他过去做过什么事情，有些事情也让保罗感到深深的羞耻。
But the scarred and bruised, weather-worn, skinny apostle argues that every one of us is living in a body that is subject to deterioration like all superficial things.
保罗他这位伤痕累累饱经风霜的这个使徒，他知道我们每个人都生活在一个像我们这个表现出来的这个里面外表都会恶化的，逐渐恶化的这个身体里。
Yet a more meaningful permanent reality exists beyond what we can see with our eyes.
但是有一个比我们肉眼所能看见的更有意义的东西。
This is why he says in chapter 5, just before our verse,
就是我们又肉眼看不见的有一个更加永恒的现实，这就是为什么保罗说
We are giving you an opportunity to be proud of us so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in the heart.
我们不是向你们在举荐自己，乃是叫你们因我们有可夸之处。好对那凭外貌不凭内心夸口的人有言可答。
Paul refers to the heart.
保罗指的是内心。
And he contrasts the tangible, superficial, the body, with what is in the heart, the spiritual.
保罗将有形的、表面的东西，就是身体，和内心的，也就是属灵的，进行了对比。
He draws a distinction between the two.And emphasizes this by using the word if.
他对两者进行了区分，并通过使用"如果"就是"若"这词来强调这一点。
if anyone is in Christ.
如果有人在基督里。
You see, some are and some are not.
你们会看到有些人在基督里，有些人则不然。
Paul speaks of the heart in his letter to the Romans when he said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
保罗在写给罗马人的书信中也提到了心。他说，你若口里认耶稣为主，心里信神，叫他从死里复活，就必得救。
Paul is saying that if you trust in what Jesus did on the cross for you, accepting that his resurrection proved his authority, you will live in the power of that reality.
保罗就是说，如果你相信耶稣在十字架上为你所做的一切，并相信他的复活证明了他的权威，你就会生活在这个现实中。
And for those who experience that reality and know the God of it.
那么对于那些已经看到这个现实并认识他的人来说，
we should not be fooled by superficial measures and should be helping others to see beyond them.
我们不仅不应该被这个世界肤浅的衡量标准所愚弄，我们还应该去帮助那些没有看到这一点的人。
Because there are those who are not in Christ, who do not experience that new reality.
因为有些人不在基督里，他们没有经历过这个新的现实。
I assume whoever is here today loves the Lord, but if you don't know that reality, or if you view this ancient text as inapplicable to your life, I urge you to reconsider.
我希望在座的每一位都能够爱主爱神，但是如果你认为这段古老的文字非常的陌生，并且不适用于你自己的生活，我强烈建议你再想想。
Paul had prepared for career in Israel, and through a radical course of events, found himself living and working elsewhere.
保罗以前在以色列，他为了他自己的职业生涯刻苦的训练，但是当他遇见了神以后，遇见了基督以后，他很快就改变了，他就搬到了其他的地方生活和工作。
He was alienated from everything and everyone he previously knew.
他放下了他以前生命中一切的事情和一切的人。
Giving himself wholly to this new life, he nearly died in the process.
他全身心地投入在他的新的追求当中，并且在这个追求的过程中几乎丧命。
He spent more time investing his life in the people from Corinth than in any other city up until that time.
在写信的时候，他花在哥林多人身上的时间精力比他花在其他地方教会的时间要多得多。
Yet even now those friends began to look down on him.
即使如此，他以前这些朋友们竟然也过来散布谎言来抹黑他。
And they believed such lies as his income wasn't respectable.
就这些人，他们所被蛊惑的有些点，就比如说保罗就挣这么点钱。
He carries no recognizable credentials. They didn't like his LinkedIn page.
就好像今天大家觉得你的简历不够好，觉得你没有什么背景。
His message was foolish.
觉得他讲的东西很傻气。
He has no credible education in this context.
而且也不知道他有什么学历。
Even his physical appearance gave him a minority status in contrast to the dominant culture.
甚至就是他的外貌都让人家形容他其貌不扬，让人家觉得他低人一等。
Here Paul risks being offensive for the sake of being relevant.
所以保罗他就为了要帮助到这些人，他宁可冒着风险去说一些冒犯他们的话。
Paul risks being offensive for the sake of being relevant.
他宁愿来劝诫他们，也要说这些话。
In the same spirit of vulnerability, about 30 years ago, I was very discouraged And I was feeling badly about my choices and my life circumstances.
大约30年前, 我感觉非常的脆弱，非常的沮丧。
My father had just been released from prison and was living as a homeless person far away.
那时候我的父亲刚刚出狱, 他在一个别的地方过着无家可归的生活。
I was discouraged. I was afraid that I would be destined to repeat my ancestral patterns.
我很沮丧, 我很怕我的人生也会重蹈覆辙。
I was driving up the east side of Manhattan, about to get on to the FDR Drive.
我那时候开着车沿着曼哈顿的东边行驶, 正要开到这个FDR那条路上。
I passed a group of homeless people huddled around a barrel with a fire in it to stay warm.
我经过了一群无家可归的人, 看见他们围着一个木桶生火取暖。
As I went by them, I prayed for them.
我开过去的时候, 心里就为他们祷告。
And then I was confronted by a presence I don't have the words to explain.
突然我就感到有一个存在来挑战我, 我是这个无法描述的。
I don't easily or frequently say the Lord spoke to me.
我不是那种动不动就说主在对我说话的人。
I believe he speaks to me, but I don't trust that what I think and what I feel is God.
我知道有人在有东西在对我说话，但是我不想就是认为这是神对我说话。
But I can tell you what I was thinking and feeling before that was not of God.
我可以告诉你，在那个存在出现之前，我脑子里想的并不是神。
And the force that came upon me.
但是那个力量马上就在我身上。
Was not of my own thought process.
这个肯定不是我自己能想出来的东西。
And it told me, if you want to pray for those people.
这个声音告诉我, 如果你想为那些人祷告,
then you need to believe there's hope for them.
那你必须要相信你的祷告是有帮助的。
And if you believe there's hope for them,
如果你觉得你的祷告能帮到他们, 能给他们带来希望,
then you need to believe there's hope for you.
那你就必须相信这个同样的祷告也可以帮助到你自己。
And if you don't believe there's hope for them,
如果你不认为这个对他们是有帮助的,
just like you think there's no hope for you,
就像你自己觉得好像对你自己没有任何帮助，也没有指望。
Then don't pray for them.
那你干嘛还为他们祷告呢？
And that thought came with scripture.
然后就有一节经文到我脑海中。
And the scripture said,
经文说,
therefore, if anyone is in Christ,
所以若有人在基督里,
this person is a new creation.
他就是新造的人。
The old things are passed away.
旧事已过。
Behold, the new things have come.
都变成新的了。
The question challenging me that day was, do I trust him?
那天挑战我的问题就是，我相信他吗？
And I chose afresh to trust Jesus that day.
所以那天我就重新选择相信耶稣基督。
And he has indeed been creating a radical and new trajectory in my life.
从那以后，他确实为我的人生开辟了全新的轨迹。
Paul challenged his listeners to decide if they are in Christ.
保罗向他的听众提出挑战。
And if they are, to embrace this identity.
让他们决定自己是否在基督里。
The verses that follow indicate their responsibility to help others see this invisible truth as ambassadors for Christ.
那他接下来的经文也向他们表明，他们作为基督的使者，有责任帮助其他人看到这个看不见的真理。
That's a sermon for another day.
那个就是我。 后面要讲的另一篇正道。
Today you must decide, Are you in Christ?
今天你必须决定你在基督里吗？
If so, be encouraged that if the ultimate enemy of life is death, that the power that overcame death itself can and will overcome every challenge in your life.
如果是这样，你觉得你在基督里，那么你就会受到鼓舞。如果生命的最终敌人是死亡，那么那个克服死亡本身的无形的力量，能够并且将会克服你生命中的每一个挑战。
And if you're not in Christ,
如果你还没有在基督里，
What must God do to demonstrate His love for you besides dying on your behalf?
除了带你去死，并且通过从死里复活来证明他有能力克服你人性的弱点之外，神还必须为你做什么来表明他对你的爱呢？
And if you're not sure He has the power to overcome your frailties,
如果这些都还不能赢得你的信任，
What must he do besides rising from the dead?
他怎么样做才能呢？
If that doesn't gain your trust, what will?
如果这些他所做的一切这些都不能赢得你的信任，他怎样才能赢得你的信任呢？
Would you join me in prayer?
我们一起祷告。
Lord, we come before you and read your word, and we read about a miraculous transformation.
主啊，我们来到你的面前，我们读了你的话，我们看到这么一个神奇的转变。
We read about an old life and a new life.
我们看到有一种新的生命，有一种旧的生命。
And I have to believe that everyone here wants to live in new life.
我们相信每一位在座的都想要得到新生命。
If there's anything keeping them from living in that new life,
如果还有什么阻止他们不能够来生活出这个新的生命，
from walking with Christ,
不能够与主同行，
help them to overcome that today.
求你今天就帮助他们克服。
And help us to live in the victory and the power of your grace and your love today.
帮助我们今天就生活在你的恩典、你的爱里面，这个重大的荣耀和这个重大的战胜一切的力量里面。
In Jesus' name we pray, Amen.
奉主耶稣基督的名求，阿门。